This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. When you go to the dentist or the family doctor or the estate lawyer, you can be pretty confident that a certain standard of education in the field has been achieved. There are rules, there are requirements. Not so in the world of financial advice. Things are much more complicated. Kerry List is the president and CEO of FP Canada, and he joins us now as a part of our series called The Decade Ahead, What's Next for the Financial Advice Industry. Welcome.
Thank you, Bruce.
In two sentences, no more. What is FP Canada?
FP Canada is an organization that is dedicated to championing better financial health for all Canadians. And we do that through our certification programs and through education, CFP certification, QAFP certification, and financial education for prospective financial planners.
One of the biggest things you talk about is the notion of titles and how we talk about financial advisors and financial planners in this country. Why is that so important in your view?
It's critical because right now the onus of responsibility for figuring everything out is on the consumer, on the prospective client. Consumers don't understand the difference between what a financial advisor is, what a financial planner is, what an investment advisor is, what a portfolio manager is. And there are no rules, regulations, laws that dictate who can call themselves what. And there's no real clear definition of what those things are.
How do you think that is going to play out in the decade ahead? I think there's a certain amount of will and momentum in the marketplace. Certainly people like me would advocate for that kind of clarity for the health of the consumer. How do you think it's going to play out?
So FP Canada has been really advocating for restrictions in law as to who can call themselves what and for clearer definitions so consumers actually can make informed choices about whom they go to for what types of advice. We've been advocating for this for the better part of 10 years. We've seen some really significant movement in the last several months. And Ontario actually passed legislation in its budget bill this year in 2019. And it's now through a regulatory body to actually set the rules and regulations around that legislation. So that's happening in Ontario, and I think that's spurring on other provinces. It's provincial in nature, so unfortunately, we have to go province by province.
It's very complicated.
Especially when you're, it's a big country.
Yeah.
But we've seen legislation tabled in Saskatchewan and other provinces taking great interest. So I think, Bruce, if we're looking at the next decade, I'm very hopeful that, in fact, we're going to see legislation harmonized across the country in every province that restricts who can call themselves a financial planner or a financial advisor or an investment advisor and helps define for the clients or prospective clients what those people are capable of doing so and what the services they offer so that consumers can make informed choices.
Do you think that will increase the number of people who follow your designation path? Or, I mean, it's a higher hurdle, right?
It is a higher hurdle. We're already seeing it, and it's very interesting in preparation for upcoming legislation, partly, also because we see that the financial services industry is recognizing it has to up its game. We're seeing a very dramatic increase in the number of students who are pursuing CFP certification, Certified Financial Planner certification. And we see that only growing. I think what we're going to find is people are either going to leave the industry if they were just selling product,
right,
or they're going to step up to a professional standard.
Technology is enormous. It's a huge theme. I was looking at the date of when the first robo announced its launch in the U.S. is around 2008 or so. So a shorter life here in Canada, but becoming a force. Robos started as this challenger, like, I'm going to change the game. And now some advisors are using that technology so that they can focus more on client service and more on financial planning. From where you sit, how do you think that theme's going to play out in the next 10 years?
This is one of the most fascinating developments in financial services, and I think in every profession worldwide. But you mentioned the first robo firm, 2008, I think you said. I think initially, it was really seen as a threat. Disruption immediately is this is a threat to our very existence. I think what happened, first thing that happened is all of these robo firms that thought they were going to put professional advisors or financial planners out of business realized that they couldn't go direct to consumers. They didn't. They hadn't earned the trust. Consumers didn't necessarily know what they were getting from technology. They weren't comfortable investing or getting advice from a computer. So there was a over the last, I'd say, 4 years in particular, there's been a huge shift where these technology, we call them fintech firms, mm-hmm. whether it's robo-platforms or not, they've been looking at partnering with organizations like ours, with planners like CFP professionals, and say, can we provide the backbone? Can we provide some of the services like selecting appropriate portfolios, helping rebalance portfolios, asset allocation? Can we do that for you? Mm. Take some of the heavy lifting off of your plate, and those are things technology can actually do better, and then leave the professional advice, which is really financial planning, helping their CFPs, for example, or financial planners and others, helping bring clarity and simplicity to really complex matters.
And humanity.
And too. Humanity. And that is what is left, really, for most professions, is that humanity. And very interesting, I think what we're seeing is a real 360. The advent of technology is actually driving more demand for the human connection because people are feeling they've lost it.
Right. Oh, interesting. Now, one of the other dynamics for folks with the CFP is which fee structure is going to work for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, back in the day, it was commission-based. Now it's commission-based, fee-based, fee-only subscription, money coaches. There's like many, many different ones. What's the position of FP Canada on all this? Or do you try and remain agnostic and let it all sort itself out in the wash?
Well, agnostic to a certain extent. It's really important. Fee structure is only important, I think, from the perspective of, does the client know what they're paying? Do they know what they're paying for? Do they know what they should expect in return? Is there full transparency? Are there conflicts of interest? Is that all out in the open? And does the client actually have a choice as to how to pay for the services that they're getting? And I think the rest doesn't really matter. If it's fee, write a check, assets under administration, various other forms, as long as the client has choice. They know what they're paying for. They know what they're getting in return. They know that their planner, in this case, or advisor is not conflicted. And that if they are conflicted, they're disclosing it. They've agreed to accept that. And that the advisor is always working in their client's best interest and is going to be held accountable for it.
Do you think that the current trends are going to continue?
I think they will, yeah.
So, i.e., more fee-based, less commission-based?
Yes, we're already seeing that, and we're seeing a normalization out there. The old DSC, deferred sales charge, the norm back in the day, you may remember, was like 8-9% deferred sales charges. The vast majority of advisors out there are working without deferred sales charges. And transparency has become a requirement now. So, I think we're going to see that trend continue.
We talk so much about the environment here in Canada. What are the countries that you look to that could be a precursor for where Canada will go in the next decade? Is it the U.S.? Is it Australia? Is it the U.K.? And if it's those three, what are some of the things that you watch that says we need to be aware of this?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think we have actually taken the lead around titling and title restriction. We haven't seen an effective job being done in any of those three territories that you
really
talked about. But I think when it comes to regulation, when it comes to what the U.S. calls fiduciary, we call best interest standard, I think the U.S. really is the country that we should look to. They're the closest, most similar to ours in terms of their financial services system. Australia is a bit of a different animal, and I don't think we're going to see what's been happening in Australia coming to Canada, nor the U.K.
I want to ask you one last question.
Sure.
And it is this. What is your hope for the decade ahead? So clearly you're invested. This is your life's work. What is it that you hope for your organization and for the tens of thousands of people who work in this industry focused on delivering value for Canadians?
You know, I think it's twofold. I think one, from the side of the advisory community, we really hope that all people who hold themselves out to be professionals actually focus on the human side that you've talked about. Focus on the holistic side. Use technology to help them be better professionals. And, of course, we'd like to see them all get CFP certification. But I want to say just, Bruce, from the consumer side, we want to see consumers, clients, we want to see help to get them to understand what they really need and focus on the right type of advice, because there's just too much confusion out there in the marketplace.
Here's to that. Carrie, right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Carrie List, President and CEO of FP Canada.